Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Gimel. And we were just getting into the sugya that our Mishnah introduces by once again being very vague, not exactly telling us what the issue is. And it starts off with the question of whether you're allowed to put something under a ner to catch dripping oil. It says you can't do that. And you definitely can't use the drippings if you put the kli there before Shabbos. Now, the fact that you can't use the drippings implies that there's a problem of muktzah here. That seems to be a given. The question as to why you can't put the kli underneath the ner to accept the shemen, that Rashi brought both pshatim to Gemara, so we mentioned them both. There are two possible approaches to the Mishnah. The one that we've been taking so far is the technical idea of ein kli nital ela ledavar hanital. You're only allowed to move something, even though that something may be completely innocent and not nogea muktza. You can only move it for purposes of something which is itself not muktza. And therefore, over here, since the oil is muktza, and we traced many reasons why it would be muktza, assuming that you hold of all of those reasons, which we'll soon see is a big machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of what things are muktza. But assuming that the oil is muktza, then it would mean you can't move the kli in order to catch the oil. But there's a completely different approach. The other approach was that you are not allowed to be mevatel kli mehechano. Both of these terms were new terms that we introduced. So, mevatel kli mehechano would mean, according to Rashi here, although Rashi agrees with Tosfos elsewhere, according to Rashi here, it's because you are fixing the kli to its place, because once you make it a basis to muktze, you won't be able to move it anymore. And therefore, you are being over on what appears to be bonet, or similar to bonet, by attaching it. According to Tosfos, the problem is soter. And Rashi agrees to this later, because you've taken a perfectly functional kli and you've made it non-functional. So the first approach that the Gemara was taking, and this is where we were holding when we last learned, is the one about asur litol unless it's the davar hanital. And therefore, we were matir special cases. We were mechalik between cases where it is a hatzalah that is matsui. A hatzalah that is mitsuya led us to distinguish between putting a bowl or a plate underneath a chicken that's about to lay an egg to prevent the egg from rolling away versus putting a bowl over an egg to prevent somebody from stepping on the egg. And the reason that these two things were different was because it is not normal for a chicken to lay an egg in an area where it can roll because it has mechanisms that prevent that. But it is usual for a chicken to lay an egg in a place where people could step on it. And therefore, one is called a hatzalah mitsuya, and the other is hatzalah she'ena mitsuya, which was usur. And so, the last thing that we asked was the question of why it is that you're allowed to put a kli underneath a candle to catch actual sparks, and that pieces, sparks means over here, little pieces of flame that drop off with a little, you've seen this happen, with a little bit of the wick. And we got up to literally the first word on the daf, on Mem Gimel. So that's where we're up to, Esve. Again, Abaye has another kasha on Rav. Kofin ka'aral aner shelo yeochez bakora. You can take a type of fireproof bowl, so it's made out of earthenware, so you're not going to cause it to catch on fire, and you can put it over a flame, obviously not directly over the flame because you put it out, but you could put it between the flame and the ceiling if the ceiling is getting overheated and it may catch on fire. So you put it overneath, allowing enough air to get in so you don't put it out. And now, I would not think that it's very common for a ceiling to catch on fire from your Shabbos candle. So why over here is it mutter to move something which is not muktzah, but move it for something which is muktzah? And Rabbi answers, look, we're talking about over here, but the lake. We're talking about a low ceiling where over there it is pretty normal that things should start getting a bit too hot up there. Okay, next kasha asks Abaye. It also says in the Mishnah later on that if a roof beam breaks on Shabbos, so then you're allowed to take a stool And you're allowed to take the parts of a bed, and you could put it underneath the beam in order that it shouldn't sink further and completely collapse. Now, that is not something that occurs very often, and yet it says over here that you would be allowed to move something, even though a broken roof beam is muktzah. So it says over here, you can move something that is not muktzah for the purposes of its use for something that is muktzah, and that is against what Rava said. That was the approach that we had taken in the whole sugya over here. That was Rabba's explanation of Rav Chisda. Answers Rabba, b'chshurei chadatei de'avidu de'paket. We're talking over here a newly made roof that has got new roof beams, and those often do break until they've gotten time to get used to the load. Okay, next question from Abai, another Mishnah. Noting kli tachat ha'delef b'shabbat. If the roof has started to leak, which is not all that usual, and the water that is leaking in is usually pretty filthy, not something that you would drink on Shabbos, and therefore it's muktzah. It says over here, you could take a bucket and you could put it underneath the leaky roof. Again, Rabbah says, well, that must be talking about a brand new house. Everybody knows when you get your house from the builder, there's an awful lot of work that still needs to be done. So when it rains, sure enough, the roof leaks into your beautiful new living room rug. Okay, when else would it leak? Rav Yosef Amar. Rav Yosef says, cut the whole discussion, okay? That is not the idea of Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says you cannot put something under an egg in order to get a chicken to catch the egg, whereas he is matir, putting something over the egg in order to prevent it from getting crushed, you're missing the whole point. What Rav Chisda was trying to say is bedavka, there is no problem of moving a kli in order to serve something which is usur, which is muktzah. And therefore, you can put the bowl over the egg. So what's the problem of putting a plate under the egg? Very simple. The whole Mishnah is predicated on a completely different problem, and that's what Rav Chisda was addressing. You cannot be mevatel kli meheichano. So if you put a bowl over the egg, you're not changing anything about the bowl. You can always move the bowl away and have a bowl of cereal. But if you put a kli under the chicken, when the egg is laid, since the egg is muktzah and it's neilad, the kli that has it will not be able to be moved because now it would be a basis davar asur. And therefore, are the BBs having a problem with sound? Kobe Seder? So therefore, what you're doing is you're being mevatel a kli meichano, and that, as I mentioned to you, according to Tosfos, is similar to Soter, and according to Rashi here, is similar to Boneh. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nihyeh B'Dvaro. So it's a completely different idea. Isvei Abaye. So now Abaye's got problems with Rav Yosef's approach because it says a chavit shel tevel shel nishbara mevi kli acher aminiach tachter. If you have a broken barrel of tevel, as we discussed yesterday, and all of a sudden it's leaking your very valuable wine or oil, you simply bring another kli and you put it under the dripping tevel to catch it. Now, how are you allowed to do that? The tevel is not usable on Shabbos, and therefore you are being mevatel kli meyachono. And I thought, according to Rav Chisda, you cannot do that. Omar lei, and of course, we can no longer give the answer that we gave before, because now it would have nothing to do with Hatzolah. If it was a question of not moving something because you're not allowed to move it from muktzah, fine. There was Hatzolah. Nobody said that there was a din of Hatzolah on being mevatel kli meyachano. So what would be the answer? Amar lei, Rav Yosef said, look, it's very simple. The problem of mevatel kli meyachano is that it cannot be used all that Shabbos, right? Well, in this case, it technically speaking can be used because since if somebody would go ahead and take off Trumas and Maisis from that Tevel, then it would no longer be Muktzah. So you say, but he's not allowed to do that. Okay, fine, he's not allowed to do that. But if he would do that, it would be fine. So there's nothing innately mevatel the kli mehechano except for the fact that you haven't found anybody who's dumb enough to do that. But I mean, if somebody will do that, the kli is not completely canceled its use. And for the gabe Shabbos, for this purpose, is the tevel is considered to be muchan because im avar v'tikno mitukan. If somebody would have done it, it would have been okay. So it's not mevutal. Okay, next kash. How about the Mishnah we spoke about earlier? You could take a kli, put it underneath a nair to catch the sparks. Now, the sparks are now going to make the container immovable because now it's a basis to the sparks when they go out to the pieces of wick. Omer of Unibrei of Yeshua, once that goes out, what you're left with is a wisp of nothingness. And nitzotzot ein behem mamash. You'd be allowed to move that kli even after the sparks went out and left a little bit of wispy black in the kli. That is not considered to be something that has the chashivas to say that you can't move it. There's no basis for such a thing, and therefore you're not being mevato kli hechano. Okay, what about the case of the korah? Same problem. How would you be allowed to move something to protect your house from a sagging roof beam that is about to collapse completely? And it says over here you could put a stool or parts of a bed underneath it. How could you do that? If you wedge it there, then you're not going to be able to move it anymore. Answer to the Gemara, you don't wedge it there. What you do is you put it underneath it such a way that if the beam collapses more, it'll then hit it. But right now it's still movable. So you didn't do anything to make it immovable. Derafi, Dibay Shakile. Okay, the next question, again, how are you allowed to put a bucket underneath leaky water from your roof? Over here, you're being mevato, the bucket, mehechano, all the same kashas that we had, but we can no longer answer the simple way we did before. So how do you explain that? Answers of Yosef, well, maybe it's simply talking about clean enough water to drink. So then it would be okay, and it's not mevato, the clay, mehechano. Okay, how about this brighter? Kofina tasal lifnei ha'efrochim sheya'alu v'yerdu. Now, you're allowed to take a basket, put it right in front of newly hatched chicks. And this way they start climbing up, they come down from the nest, and that you want the birds to be able to do. Now, since those birds are muktzah on Shabbos, you are now making the basket no longer usable. So you're being mevato kli mehechana. Ah, but you're not, you see, because this Tana holds that you can move this basket when there's no birds on it. So therefore, what's the big deal? So you put a basket there to give these birds a good time and let them climb up and down. Okay, fine. But then when they're not on it, you could still move it and you can always scare them off. And then, so what's the big deal? Why is that considered to be a iser? So because of that, it would be fine. I understand what you're saying, but it says in that brisa, it says beferish, that it is osur letaltalo. Yeah, it's osur letaltalo. That means it's osur while the birds are on it. It's osur letaltalo. What's your problem? But it says in the brisa, excuse me, ava bishaino damalava. So it says even if they're not still on it. So apparently you are being mevata the kli meyachano. Omre beaboh, that this is different. And this is a new term that I'd like you to write down, which is midi di itkatsoi lebein hashvashot, itkatsoi lekol hayom kulo. Because of the fact that something during the entire bein hashvashot was not movable, makes it immovable the entire day. Because that's koveya the status of the kli during the day. Another issue that I'd like you to write down, which is related to this one, is mukta lechatzi Shabbat. I will repeat it because I see Meir Simchus making faces over here. Midei de itkatsoi lebein hashmashot. Because of the fact that it was made mukta during bein hashmashot, right? So itkatsoi migu, the itkatsoi, since it was itkatsoi lekula yuma. It became mukta for the entire day. Okay? Since, got that? Good. Now, the other term that relates to it is muktzah lechatzi Shabbat. That question is, if something becomes muktzah at some point during the day, does it lose its status of muktzah if it is no longer has the thing in it that made it muktzah. So you can hold that ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat, but still hold that migod itkatzai ben hashmashot itkatzai l'kula yuma. And that's exactly what we're saying over here. This Tana holds, as Rabbi Yosef originally says, that it's only going to be usher so long as the chicks are on the basket. So that means that he does not hold of muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat. Ein muktzah l'chatzi Shabbat. On the other hand, he holds that since it was muktzah during the entire Bein HaShemashot, it is considered to be muktzah the entire day. And that would explain the issue of the Braita, why it says that there is a time when even when they're not on it, it will be usher. That's talking about when they were there called Bein HaShemashot. And then Migud Itkatzela Bein HaShemashot, Itkatzela Kula Yuma. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, so now we have two very different explanations of the Mishnah. One going a libid Rabbi Yosef, which is the problem of Asur Levatel Kli Mehechano. The other one is the way in which Rab understood it originally, which is Ein Kli Nital, Ela the Davar HaNital. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak. I want you to know that the halacha is actually not like what Rav Chisda said, and there is never any kind of heter to move something for the tzorach of a davar ha-muktzah, even if it is a hatzola, and kishim she'enot nim kli tachat tarnagolet takabel beitzata, in exactly the same way that you could not put a plate underneath the egg if it's in a place where it may roll, you are also not allowed to take a bowl and put it over it in order that it shouldn't break. So that, obviously, Rabbi Yitzchak holds, since he says you can't put it over the egg, his problem cannot be the issue of whether mevatim kli mehechano. I mean, he may also hold that ein mevatim kli mehechano, of course, but to say that you can't put a bowl over an egg, that for sure is not being mevatim kli mehechano. Nonetheless, he's asering it. Why? He's asering it because of the fact that it is considered to be a dover she'eno nital, and you're going ahead and you're moving a good kli for that. And you can't do that. And in this case, even though you're saving the egg, you can't do it. So he's all the way to the other extreme. You cannot move it for any purposes. And according to that, kasavar ein kli nital, ela ledavar hanital b'shabbat. That is his final psak. We do not paskin like Rabbi Yitzchak, and we actually do move something. We are not mevatel kli mehechano on Shabbos, but we do move something for a muktzah or non-muktzah thing. So now, they asked Rav Yitzchak all of the kashas that we used against both Rabbah and Rav Yosef. We're over there, we have plenty of cases where you're moving something that is not muktzah in order to use it for something that was muktzah. We talked about the tevel thing. We talked about the broken roof. We talked about the catching the nitzotzos. We spoke about the korah that was broken. We spoke about the putting something over the fire to prevent the ceiling from catching fire. I mean, according to him, we got a real problem over here because he can't give the answer of hatzola that's matzui. And in all of those cases, we were mevatel kli mehechano. So what is he going to say? He is going to give you a new idea. And this is, again, a new munach. It's called tzorech limekomo. Tzorech limekomo means that when you are not allowed to move certain types of muktzah or other things that are usher to move because of muktzah, such as this case, I can't move something which isn't muktzah for the tzorach of a dover that is muktzah. I am given a heter to move it when the place that that thing occupies is needed by me for another purpose. So if I have to lie down, let's say, on my couch, and on that couch is a bowl, and I pick up that bowl to take it off of my couch, I can then put it on top of the egg. Because it's not the isser per se of protecting the egg, obviously. It was usser by extending the muktzah of the egg to the bowl. But since over here I'm allowed to move the bowl because of tzorach limekomo, just as I would be allowed to move many muktzahs letzorach limekomo, therefore, once I move it, I can set it down wherever I please, and in this case, I could set it down on top of the egg. Or I can pick up my stool that I needed to pick up for the mokim and put it underneath the broken roof beam. I can pick up my bucket and put it down underneath the water, and so on and so forth. All assuming that it was all cases of tzarech l'mekoma. In the event that Rabbi Yitzchak also holds of the problem of ein mevatim klei mehechano, so then he would also have to stipulate the various things that Rabbi Yosef stipulated, that the water was usable, that it wasn't jammed in too tightly underneath the korah, etc., etc. But as to how it is that I could move something, I always am capable of moving something once I begin the move because of tzarech l'mekoma. This is another very important and common term for the dinim of mukta. So he answered all the kashas by explaining that. Okay, tashma. Another problem with Rabbi Yitzchak. Achat pitzah shenolda b'shabbat v'achat pitzah shenolda b'yom tov, ein metatilim. You cannot move an egg that was laid on Shabbos or on Yontev. You can't use it for any purposes because it is neilat, which is a type of mukta. So what would you want to use an egg for? Well, the most common use of an egg is undoubtedly to put under the uneven leg of your bed to support the bed with the egg, right? I mean, anybody would love to show off his understanding of physics by taking the egg and put it directly under the bed and then jumping on the bed and calling in the kids and saying, look, 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 look at this. This whole bed is being supported and my weight and my jump by this egg. Now, what do you say, kids? Anybody would, of course, would be the first thing that they would think of in terms of an egg. So therefore, we want you to know you cannot move that egg to support your bed. Absolutely hilarious. You might come up with another use, like maybe covering a jar with it. It's very imaginative. Anyway, you cannot move that egg. Lo lechasod batakli, and lo lesmoch bakrei hamita. You can't use it to support your bed. But you could move a kli to cover the egg, so it shouldn't break. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you're not allowed to do that. That's exactly the case that he said you can't do. No, it just means, obviously, you'd have to answer that he has some other need to move it, the Bitzarach Lemakomo. So all that it's saying is, fine, you can't move the egg, but you can, as long as you started to move it to Bitzarach Lemakomo, you could put something over the egg. Okay, how about this, Breita? You are allowed to spread out a mat over stones, and that way, if it's raining, you're going to protect them from becoming all wet and unusable. We're talking about over here, you're going to be building with these stones or making a pavement, and you're not going to be able to work with them if they're all soaking wet. So over here, stones obviously are mukta. They don't have a din of a kli at all, so they're very mukta. And the question is how you could move a mat to protect the stones, which is moving a kli hanital for the stones which are she'eno nital. Answers the Gemara. We're talking about avanim mikur zalot, the chazon lebeit hakise. So in those days, without toilet paper, as a matter of fact, they held that toilet paper was usher to use because it was considered to be dangerous. So because of that, there's no din of mukta on a type of stone which is usable that you'd be able to clean yourself after defecation. And therefore, by definition, they're not mukta. So you can, let's say if you have a bunch of these stones outside of an outhouse, you're allowed to take a mat, machatzela, to cover them, because that way you're going to save them from becoming useless. But that is not the tzorach adavar she'eino nital, because Chazal allowed you to be nital. This is because of kovod habriyos. Toshma, porsim machatzelot agabi levenim b'shabbat. Now, bricks are not used in place of toilet paper. And nonetheless, it says over here that you could spread out mats over bricks. I'm assuming, again, these are bricks that you're going to be using for construction, and therefore they're mukta, and it says you're allowed to protect them, to be able to work with them on Sunday. No. It's talking about over here, these were bricks that were left over from a project Dechaz in Lamizgalayo, and now they're not muksa. You haven't set them aside. And bricks are always very usable for leaning on, sitting down on. You've got a pile of bricks. And therefore, if they weren't set aside for construction, so of course you'll be using them. It's like today when people have these piles of tiles and things in front of the house that they were using to put in a new floor. And now you finish laying the floor. Okay, so those are no longer mukta, and they're very usable to use as chairs and so on, and therefore there's no problem of moving something for tzarech, something that isn't movable. It is movable. Okay, how about this? You're allowed to spread a mat on top of a beehive, and the reason you would want to protect the beehive would be maybe because there's too much sun and it's getting overheated. So either bechama mipnei hachama, or if it's raining, you'd want to protect the beehive from the rain. In long as you're careful not to trap with kavana, that you don't have kavana to trap the bees, you would be allowed to do this. Now, lechora, the beehive, since it's a basis to all of the bees and the larvae and so on, so it is a basis ledavar ha'asur. It's a basis to muksa. So how am I allowed to cover it according to Rabbi Yitzchak? Hocha b'mayaskinan de'ika devash. We're talking about over here, there's honey in that hive. The honey is not muksa, and it's choshev to you, and therefore it's a basis ledavar ha'asur ve'amutar, where over here the actually, the mutter is the thing that you want, and therefore there's no problem in protecting it because it's not a dover us. Omale Rav Ukva Mimeshan Ravash. Now, wait a minute over here. It says from the sun or from the rain. Now, I understand in the summertime, it's got honey in there. Yes, and you can do it to protect the honey. But in the wintertime, there's no longer any honey in the hive. It's already been harvested. The bees don't start getting the honey back in until the flowers come out again. So what's your explanation then? Michael Amima. Ah, but you see, any self-respecting bee farmer, and certainly any self-respecting bee, knows that you cannot get all of the honey out of a hive without killing the hive. You need to leave at least two of the chalot. There have to be two honeycombs. The beekeepers actually have this. The honeycombs are made with removable. I'm sure you're familiar with the way a modern hive is made when you're raising bees. So you can pull out the entire comb. It slides out and then reinsert it. The last two combs you leave in because you need to provide for the survival of the hive until the next season. So those two chalos, if they have any honey in them, which they always have, you're allowed to cover them and understand. But then they're muksa by definition. Those two hives, they contain the honey that you can't take out of the hive. You don't want to take out of the hive. So then that's muksa. And we're back to where we started. So I'm muksa sinu. Well, it's talking about over here that you had planned to take out the honey from that hive before Shabbos. So mamela, they're not muksa. So what are you saying? That if you didn't plan to take them out, that then what? Then it would be usur. So then why in the world would the Braisa have modified the statement by saying, as long as you didn't have in mind to trap those bees? You could have said that when do we say that it's mutter to do this? When you planned on using the honey. But if you didn't plan on using the honey, then it's usur. What are you bringing in another issue over here about trapping when you've got an issue that is innately nogea? Yes, 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 the price is saying that. Given that you understand that it's not muktzah because you were chishav aleim, you still better be careful that there should be no kavona to actually trap the bees. Now, this is very confusing, says the Gemara, because if you're telling me if I don't have kavona, now who's this going like? Excuse me? I just want to know who is the author over here. If the author is Rabbi Shimon, and you're telling me that as long as you don't have kavona, because, I mean, Dover Shem Miskaven is mutter, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's a little bit of a problem. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a muktzah, for God's sake. So how in the world did we get the idea about discussing this whole big deal? If you're chishav aleihem, you're not chishav aleihem, what are you talking about? What would be the problem anyway to move a mat? Why do I need somebody to teach me you're allowed to move a mat on Shabbos? Because you're allowed to move a mat on Shabbos. And if it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, who does hold of muktzah, so then what difference does it make whether he had in kavana to trap the bees or not to trap the bees? According to Rabbi Yehuda, even a davar she'eino miskaven is asur, and therefore this doesn't work out according to anybody. So how do you explain this? Gee, a davar she'eino miskaven would be asur. Answers the Gemara, well, it doesn't mean not to be mechavein. It means not to do it in a way that ends up trapping, is what it really means. Don't completely cover this entire hive and thereby make it the equivalent of a trap. What you should do is make sure that you leave a little bit of space so that you can go ahead and allow the bees to come in and out. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it would be fine if there was the smallest thing, because then it wouldn't be a psik resha. Marsha Enkin, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you can't get away with leaving something small that makes it not a psik resha. You would have to actually leave a big piece open so there's no chance in the world that any bee can get confused about how to get out of this hive. Ravashi's got a completely different reason for explaining the original kasha of Rav Ukva about, doesn't it say summer and winter? And Ravashi says, it doesn't say summer and winter, my dear. Read it again. It says, if it's raining or if the sun is shining. Now, I got news for you. You may have noticed that the weather lately has been such that it might be raining and the sun might be shining. Well, that happens twice a year for those of you who don't pay much attention to the seasons. And it says not be a mota cham or a mota geshamim. It says if there's a lot of sun, you have to protect it from the sun. If there's a lot of rain, from the rain. So obviously we're talking about Nisan time or Tishrei time when you have both sun and rain. And in those times there is honey. So I don't know what your problem was in the first place. Says Rav Sheshes, you know what? You should go tell Rabbi Yitzchak that actually his shita about the din that you cannot move something unless it's Litzorach Adavar HaNital. And you said this, of course, because Rabbi Yitzchak, he was a gadol in Eretz Yisrael. But you should tell him, don't think you're so amazing. Here in Bavel, they figured that out too. Kvar tirgama Ravuna l'shmaitecha b'Bavel. We've already figured that out over here in Bavel, because Ravuna said you're allowed to make a mechitza for a mate if it's done in such a way that it's done for someone who's alive. But you cannot make a mechitza for a mate just for a mate. So now let's say over here you have a body that is in the sun and that is not very good for decay. And therefore, you want to do something to prevent the sun from getting onto the mate. Well, you can't simply make a mechitza on Shabbos, but you can if you do it in a way that it's initially made for people who are not muksa and they are alive. What are we talking about? I didn't get it. Well, because Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda and Shilo Mori both said that a mate hamutal bechama, if you have a body in the sun, what you do is like this. Two people come, sit down next to this mate on the ground, which is hot. Now, they start feeling very uncomfortable. Whew, it's hot, man. So then what do they do? Well, each one says, I don't want to sit on the ground. I'm going to bring a bed, okay? So each one brings a bed, sits down on the bed, and then it starts getting hot on top. Oh man, I'm sweating. So then you bring a mat of some kind, a sheet, and you hold it up over your head, which is fine to prevent the sun from getting on you, right? And then you say, I'm getting tired of holding this up. So then you flip the bed up, leaving the sheet on top of the bed, which is essentially creates an awning over the whole area. They both do that. And it turns out that the mechitza has been made magically all on its own. Now, this is mevusas on the halacha that you can only make a mechitza that is a temporary mechitza on Shabbos if you make it from top down, not from bottom up, because from bottom up, it is similar to the normal binyan of an ohel. So we allow an ohel arai, please write that down as a munach, ohel arai, a temporary tent, can be made when it's made top down, not bottom up. And that's essentially what's happening here. You held it up, and then you flip the bed out from underneath you, And now you've created it from top down. Okay, anyway, there are other issues that are involved over here that also create a new concept in terms of tiltul mukta, itma. If you have a meta mutal b'chama, there is another thing you could do, said Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, is you can roll this body, mimita lemita, until it gets to a place where it's not in the sun. So let's say that you have this body is on a mattress outside. So then you can pick up the side of the mattress, roll the body onto another mattress, pick up the side of that mattress, and so on and so forth. Now this is called, and there are two generally equivalent terms. This is called, and please write it down, tiltul min hatzad. The other generally equivalent terms is tiltul kila'achar yad. So if you carry something, according to Shmuel, in a way that is abnormal, and it's not the way that you would typically carry the mukta, you can actually move mukta on Shabbos. So it would appear anyway. And therefore, you don't really have to do this thing about building the mechitza. Rav Chanina bar Shaumia, Mishbei d'Rav Amar, Meniach alav kikar o tinok umetaltalo. You are allowed to move it specifically here. That was a special takona. Normally, you're not allowed to move mukta just because there's something not mukta on top of the thing which is mukta, because we look at it as a basis. But again, because of Kovet Hames, which is a din in Kovet Habriyos, we were matir in this case. And since Lamaisa, a body cannot become a basis for something else. So if you put, let's say you put an infant or you put a loaf of bread on top of the body, you can then move the body directly. Okay, that's all very nice. That miniach lav kikar tinoko metatolo, but what about if there is none? So heicha deika kikar o tinok. Listen, it's not that Shmuel disagreed with that. Everybody agrees that it's definitely mutter to move the mace by putting a tinoik on the mace. Ki plige de letle, where we do not have that option. So there seems to be a machlokas as to mar savar tiltul min hatzad shmei tiltul. So Rav holds that even if you would want to move it in a way that's kila achar yad, tiltul min hatzad, it still is considered to be tiltul, and therefore you don't have the option that Shmuel says about rolling from one mattress to another mattress. Umar sarvan lo shmei tiltul, mar she'en ken Shmuel holds, yes, you always have that as an option. Is this machlokas about tiltul min hatzad, perhaps, says the Gemara, a machlokas tanoyim? Where do we see that? In a brisa. Ein matzilina tamet mipnei hadleika. Suppose there's a fire in a house in which someone has died. Can you carry out the mate to save the body from the fire? Omer of Yehuda ben Lakish, actually, I have a Kabbalah, shamati shematzilina tamet mipnei hadleika. That you can. Now, Echidami, tell me what you think we're talking about over this machlokas. If there is a kikar or a tinok, I thought you said everybody says we could certainly move the mace, right? So certainly in this case, why would the Tanakhama say that you are not allowed to save the body from the fire? So, and if you're talking about that there is not a tinok, then why does Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish say that you can? Must be that it's the same machlokas that we just had between Rav and Shmuel. And namely, they're arguing about tiltul min hatzad. The Mar service of the Tanakhama over here holds that tiltul min hatzad is considered to be tiltul. And because of that, he says, look, if there's no tinok and there's no lechem, then there's no way to move the mate. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish holds, Mar Sover, no, it's not considered to be a tiltul of muksa, and therefore just you can simply get the mace out of the house by taking it from bed to bed. So the Gemara, no. There's absolutely no basis for saying that that's the issue over here. It could be that everyone would agree that Tiltul Min HaTzad is considered to be Tiltul, and you would not be allowed to move the mace. The only reason that Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says is that he has a Kabbalah that you are allowed to save the mace is because of a special takana. Demitosh Adam Bahul Al Meto, because of the fact that people lose control at the thought of losing a loved one's body to a fire, if you don't give him some way to move the mate directly without all of this stuff, then we're cheshish that we're going to be causing him, because of our takana de rabbana not to move muksa, we're going to be causing him to actually put out that fire on Shabbos. And in places like that, we give you a way out. And therefore, because of this special case, we have a special dispensation. But it could be normally that nobody would hold that Tiltul Min HaTzad is mutter. Om Reb Yehuda ben Shelo, Om Reb Yossi, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Halachik Reb Yehuda ben Lakish b'meit. When it comes to the mate, that we have a special dispensation, it is mutter directly to move the mate because of the chashash of Shema Oti Lechabuye. But that does not mean anything about Tiltul Min HaTzad. In fact, Tosfos is Medayek over here. Why does it say that Kulei Alma are made of that it's Osir and is considered to be Tiltul? The Mashmaut is that, in fact, generally, it would be Osir. And that goes according to Rav. Okay, the next piece of the Mishnah says, Ein neotine mena lefish eno mena muchan. If you did put a kli there before Shabbos to catch the oil that was dripping, that oil is considered to be eno mun hamuchan. Now, the question, of course, is this when it's dripping and the fire is still on, or might it be after the fire goes out? Now, it says over here in the Braita, Mutar HaShemen Shebener V'Shebekara Asur V'Rabbi Shimon Matir. So where you have leftover oil that is left inside of that lamp or in a bowl where it dripped, it would be usher even after it goes out. Masha Enkein, Rabbi Shimon, as we've said, does not hold of muktzah. Again, as we've pointed out many, many times, it doesn't mean he doesn't hold of muktzah at all, but he holds of muktzah in a much more kal way than Rabbi Yehuda does. We actually paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So one of the questions over there is the issue of migud iskatzoyle ben hashmashais, was it iskatzoyle kula yuma? Now, since over here, Rabbi Yehuda holds that, because that's a primary principle of Muktzah Libra Rabbi Yehuda. But according to Rabbi Shimon, just because it was burning before, and it was on, the Neiros were burning the entire Ben HaShemashas, doesn't mean that when it goes out, I'm not going to be able to use it. Because if we're talking about a case, we're going to see tomorrow different cases that are where he may agree. But if we're talking about a case that the guy expects the fire to go out after a couple of hours, so then Rabbi Shimon holds that the moment that the fire is out, you would be allowed to move it. We would say, Migud iskatzoi, iskatzoi, lukule yuma. Okay. Very good. To be discussed at greater length tomorrow. Okay, so we've got a number of new ideas today that talked about Tzorech Mekomo, talked about the question of Tiltul Min HaTzad, and talked about Rabbi Yitzchak's Psak, which seems to be so powerful here in the Gemara, and yet we specifically paskin, not like Rabbi Yitzchak, that Ein Kli Nital Ela L'Tzorech Dover HaNital. We talked about being Mevato Klei Mehechanoa, and the Machlokas Rishonim, Rashi and Tosfos here, other Rishonim in other places, about whether that's a din of Soter or whether that's a din of Boneh.